WMBS Radio Memphis.
Hi there, guys and gals and whatever. I'm Phil Wayne, and this is Market Scope. On this portion of your cassette this month, Mark Marino is kind enough to help us out again as we venture to Little Rock, Arkansas. Being that we have a lot to squeeze into our allotted segment this time, and being that I know absolutely nothing about Little Rock, in fact, as you may have guessed, I really don't know much about anything, let's turn it right over to Mark.
Thank you, Phil. Little Rock's AM is kind of different from most markets. They have four AMs that program one form or another of religion, one simulcast, and two news talk stations. Let's get started with one of those gospel-type AM stations. It's at 760 on the dial.
AM 760, this is KMTL, Sherwood, Little Rock. The forecast for this afternoon calls for partly cloudy skies and mild temperatures. The high should be about 65. Currently, we have sunny skies and 48. It's a minute before 12 noon from KMTL.
Stay with us right here on KMTL. A lot of great gospel music coming up. Here's Perfect Heart, and Yes is the Answer.
Little Rock also has three AM stations, which only operate during daylight hours. You just heard one of them at 760. The other two are at 880 and 1050. KGHT at 880 airs a country music format. KGHT.
Mark Andrews playing that in case that's been one of those days for you today. Hey, you know, what are partners for, right? Yeah, well, I'll have you know I'm having a decent day here. Playing the widest variety of real country. Johnny Paycheck there. Take this job and shove it. Also, Forrester Sisters with you again. Still on the way, we have Mel McDaniel and Winona. Just the good stuff here on Real Country. Don't we all have the right to feel a little low and be wrong now and again? I hope so. Here's Ricky Van Shelton.
Your country, real country.
Real country, KGHT, Sheridan, Little Rock, Arkansas's country giant.
I saw the light, I've been baptized by the fire in your touch and the flame.
We need your help. Write us. Tell us how we're doing. And thank you for listening to Real Country, AM 880, KGHT.
The flagship station of the Arkansas Radio Network is on 920.
We give you news 24 hours a day, because that's when it happens. The news watch is always on, here at News Radio 920, KARN.
Good morning. KARN News Time is 8:06. This is Bob Harrison along with Ron Breeding. And it's Wednesday morning, March 3rd, 1993. I guess you heard the president's proposal. Bill Clinton wants young people to volunteer to clean up slums. Hey, Bill, moms can't even get their kids to clean up their rooms. Joe Murgo has the AccuWeather coming up, and Deputy Don's cruising the trouble spots so that you can avoid them, Don.
Two accidents just now wrapping up 21st and Gaines, Markham and Chester Street. Look like state police got a couple cars involved in an accident just east of the Baptist Hospital overpass, and they are off to the side of the road. No injuries involved in that accident, and interstate traffic thinning out.
All right, we'll call it quits in about 7 minutes. Traffic, a commuter service of freeze drapery cleaners.
Call the KARN Oak Lawn Race Result Hotline at 1-900-288-KARN.
KARN Sports Time is 8:12. Jim is here. Herschel Walker celebrating days 31.
31, is that?
31, yes. Gosh, he seems like he's been around forever, doesn't he?
Gee.
Where's Herschel from?
Somewhere in Georgia.
I was going to say, don't tell me Tennessee. You're right, Georgia.
Well, somewhere in Georgia. But
would have made him
only 31.
Tennessee Walker.
Boy, I would have missed that. I wouldn't have missed Ray Langford, though, because something you pointed out before, Cardinals are cheap. I mean, you know, we root for the Cardinals here, been a Cardinal farm club since 66. But here's a guy, Langford, who led them in 13 offensive categories last year. Homers, RBIs, batting average, doubles, triples, run score. Go through the whole list. He got a... How big a raise do you think he got?
Whole double?
$60,000 raise.
KRN Business News Time is 8:22. Back down the road to Merrill Lynch and Lou Graham. Lou?
Good morning, Dow Jones. Reporting stocks are expected to continue the rally after yesterday's explosive close to the upside. The Dow Jones Industrial Average ended the day 45 points higher, nosing above the 3,400 level.
When you want to know, first, tune to us. News Radio 920. K-A-R-N.
Mostly cloudy, 43. K-A-R-N. News time is 8:30.
Waco, Texas. It's day four and still no resolution to the standoff at that compound at an apocalyptic religious cult.
Jacksonville, the incineration of dioxin-contaminated waste resumes at the old Vertac chemical plant.
Little Rock state officials report crime in Arkansas down 7% last year.
New York, investigators say they're making progress in their probe of last week's World Trade Center bombing. Bob, along with Ron and Jim, in sports.
Well, racing resumes at Oaklawn Park, but they'll do it without Pat Day, and when you hear why, I think you'll agree, as his priorities straight.
Good. KARN is also a CBS affiliate, but they're not the only news talk station here. The one on 1010 that used to be KLRA and play country music is also doing a news talk format, but they're doing it in a little different style.
And I will invite all of you that get up early in the morning, turn your television on at 6 o'clock and catch Ron Sherman, Lori Johnson, and the entire staff at Channel 7 KATV with Daybreak. If you have to leave the house before it's over, tune to AM 1010 KBIS. We simulcast. 433-1010, 1-800-489-1010 is the number. Good morning, caller. You're on KBIS.
Hey there, Bill.
How you doing?
I swore off of politics and haven't even called you in several years. But I'll declare it looks like this legislature's going to force me to go down to Louisiana and get me a bottle of Hattacall or something and get started again. This Mark Pryor wants to rewrite the Constitution again. And, Bill, I'd just like to warn all of your listeners and you too, I just don't have enough confidence in the leaders that we have today to rewrite our Constitution. That would, to me, be the last straw. We're on the way out now. And if they rewrite the Constitution and get that thing fixed the way they want it to where they can, that's about the last safeguard we got. We're in trouble.
What is he proposing to rewrite into the Constitution?
He wants to have another constitutional convention like we've defeated twice in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And rewrite the state constitution. There's a lot of corrections they want to make. It's a little bit harder for them to raise taxes now than what they like in one thing or another.
Mm-hmm.
And my gosh, they've taxed us from to death. Boy, I heard you tell us here the other day, what was it, 40-something cents on a dollar now we're paying?
I've heard in some economic circles they're saying it is as much as 50 cents on the dollar when you take in all of the excise and hidden taxes and other things that are there.
That we don't realize we're paying every day.
That's right. Yes, sir.
I rolled over to buy a hot water tank the other day, and my gosh, I'm paying the city of Little Rock. They're making more off that hot water tank than the company I bought it from.
Yep.
Need a speaker? Talk Radio AM 1010 KBIS has lots of big talkers. Speakers for your civic club. In an effort to support and become more involved in community affairs, we've created a service to assist businesses and organizations in the listening area. Talk is our business, and we do a lot of it. Call 664-9410 and ask about our big talkers. Our big speakers on Talk Radio AM 1010 KBIS.
Welcome back to the Bill Powell Show here on AM 1010 KBIS. I just had a terrible thought, speaking of rewriting the Constitution. Can you imagine what would happen if our Constitution, the Constitution of the United States, were written today? They might write it something like this. We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more politically correct, perfect union, establish politically correct justice, ensure politically correct domestic tranquility, provide for the politically correct common defense, promote the general politically correct welfare, and secure the politically correct blessings of liberty to ourselves and our politically correct posterity. Ha ha. Do hereby establish, leaving out that non-politically correct word and replacing it with hereby, establish this politically correct Constitution of the United States of Multicultural America. That might be the way it was written today. Good morning, caller. You're on the air.
Good morning.
How are you?
Fine, thank you. I wanted to compliment you, if I may, on the broadcast of basketball games before I get into my main point.
Well, thank you, sir.
I was really appreciated during the basketball season, and thought you and your compatriots did an outstanding job.
Well, thank you. You're very kind. We appreciate it.
KBIS is an NBC affiliate, and both news talk stations carry some local basketball. At 1050 is a station which has paid religion and some Christian contemporary music.
That's A Call to Excellence, 374-LOVE.
This is KJBN in Little Rock.
In San Antonio, Texas, the Alamo City, we bring you Cornerstone with Pastor John Hagee.
The power and the glory. KAAY 1090 Little Rock.
Little Rock also has a full-time Christian station for the black community.
KLRG North Little Rock gives you more of what you are listening for. Yolanda Adams, BB and CC Widens, Albertina Walker, Hezekiah Walker, and the Love Fellowship Crusade Choir. All here on the all-new Solid State Digital AM Sound, AM 1150 KLRG.
KURB is on 1260, and they simulcast with B98.5. We'll hear them next time. But right now, we want to check out 1440.
This is KITA Little Rock, your station for life.
It's time for the Victory Hour, featuring the Victory Internet Baptist Church, located 6 in Maple in North Little Rock, where the Reverend Terry L. Baker is the pastor. You invite to attend at Sunday school at 9:30 a.m., worship hour Sunday at 11 a.m., and Bible study on Wednesday at 7 p.m.
We've got time to squeeze in one of Little Rock's FMs from the Educational Band. This is a blues show, but they also run Pacifica News and an otherwise wide variety of programming.
ain't studying you.
88.3 KBF, that's Bobby Rush, I ain't studying you.
See, my so-called friends always talking about Bobby Rush. We don't mean no harm.
I'll say good morning to Gene out there, also to hard-working people down at First Commercial, hard-working people down at Blue Cross, hard-working ladies out there, UALR. Look out, prime time. He's got it going on out there this morning. It's a Wednesday night, Thursday morning situation, and we got it going on at 433-0088. Got something you might want to hear, give me a call, 433-0088. If I got it, I'll get it on for you.
Men's Voices. KABF Radio. Little Rock. The voice of the people.
That's Johnny Taylor going back to 1972. I believe in you and you believe in me, huh? 104 in the city, 4 minutes after 1 o'clock. We got it going on right here on a Wednesday night, Thursday morning situation. You like stuff like that, tune in this Saturday from 3 until 6. I'll be here playing the old soul for you on Saturday Soul right here at KBF. That's Johnny Taylor then. This is Johnny Taylor now.
And that covers all the AMs and one of the FMs. And we'll have more next time. I'm Mark Marino. Now, here's Phil Wayne.
Thanks, Mark. We'll see you back here again next month as we tune onward. And now, we tune onward. Here's JB, John Parker.
Historical moments in radio, stories from the rich and exciting past of AM radio. Hello again, I'm John Bowker, and this month I want to recount a wonderful half hour I spent with the program director of a small AM station in central Illinois, WCMY, in Ottawa, Illinois, about an hour and a half's drive west of Chicago. The program director's name is Jay LeSueur, and I learned that he had just written a history of the station, just last year actually, to commemorate the station's 40th anniversary on the air. Now, what makes this station stand out, perhaps, is that it's only running 500 watts during the day, 38 watts at night. Its 1430 dial position leaves plenty to be desired, and its audience can easily tune most of the Chicago powerhouses on both AM and FM. But WCMY is financially healthy, and it's fun to listen to. And the story all starts on March 5th, 1952 at noon, when radio broadcasting began from Ottawa's first radio station, WCMY, 1430, 500 watts of daytime power, only daytime power. It was the first Ottawa station to provide local news, weather, sports, and music for the central LaSalle County area. Now, WCMY was originally located along the banks of the Illinois and Michigan Canal, east of Ottawa. It was housed in a combination office, studio, and transmitter building near the station's 150-foot-tall transmitting tower. The station was put on the air by a Chicago radio engineer named Carl Meyer, for whom the station was to be named WCMY. Now, in its early days, WCMY broadcast to the Ottawa area only from sunrise to sunset. This meant a short day in December with a sign-on time of 7:30 in the morning and signing off in the afternoon about 4:30. But in the summertime, of course, the broadcast day was from 6 in the morning until nearly 8 o'clock at night. Things got better in 1967. WCMY was granted pre-sunrise authority. That meant they could sign on every day of the year at 6 a.m., and that meant that school reports could be given, too. In 1984, the FCC granted WCMY permission to broadcast each day until at least 6 p.m., and by 1989, WCMY had been granted full-time status. And as we said before, the station is now able to broadcast 24 hours a day, 500 watts during the daytime, and a nighttime power of 38 watts, all non-directional. But that serves the immediate Ottawa-Marseille-Illinois area very satisfactorily.
Now, Carl Meyer, the founder of WCMY, owned the station until November of 1971, nearly 20 years. But at that time, he sold the station to the Virginia Broadcasting Company of Centralia, Illinois, owners at that time of WPRC AM and FM in Lincoln, Illinois. Now, before meeting with Jay, I'd done a little homework on the status of FM radio in LaSalle County, and knowing that after about 12 years of existence, WCMY suddenly was faced with competition in Ottawa, 1964 WOLI came on the air on FM. It was a Class A 3,000-watt station, but nonetheless, it wasn't bound, of course, by the sun-up to sundown broadcast times. Jay was quick to point out, that's right, he said, they gave live coverage of the Ottawa City Council meetings. They had election returns that went on into the wee hours of the morning when, of course, WCMY had to sign off according to FCC rules. But he said one thing led to another, and in 1976, the Van Schoik Enterprises that owned WOLI sold the station to the Virginia Broadcasting Corporation, owners of WCMY. He said, then, we had both stations then under our wing. We changed the call letters of WOLI on the FM side to WRKX, tried a number of formats, and right now today, it's WRKX is in a classic rock format and seems to be doing very well. In fact, both stations are doing very well. And I asked Jay what how business had changed over the years since he had been with WCMY, WRKX, and he said, well, the biggest change is on the business side of these two stations here in Ottawa. It's been in the area of sales effort. He said, in 1952, WCMY had one person selling time on the station, and this month we have seven different people selling advertising positions for the two stations. WCMY began in 1952. There was only one other station in the whole county, WLPO in LaSalle. Today, that county has 10 different radio stations, and more seem to be coming. And, oh, WCMY took first place in the news division for downstate Illinois radio stations this year. A very proud achievement for this station. We wish them continued success. And for Historical Moments in Radio, this is John Bowden.
It's time now for our Musings from Members column. These are the thoughts of the NRC members.
This is Michael Friddle. It's Friday, the Friday before Memorial Day. And we had an interesting change that I discovered last night on the airwaves at 1480 WZRC. Dropped its Z-Rock format and went to a country format, one of the satellite country stations that I'm not terribly familiar with. One of the ones I think I might have heard when I was out west. Otherwise, nothing else has changed at this point. Everybody, I'm sure you'll have all a good Memorial Day weekend. Get out there and have some barbecue, do something, and we'll be talking to you later. Take it easy. Bye-bye.
Hello, Fred and fellow DXers. This is Victor Schmidt from Silver Spring, Maryland, reporting on June the 5th. Two station format changes. Once again, 1150 WMET is involved. From what I am hearing, the owner is having financial problems once again and has dropped all the format and has now decided to simulcast 24 hours a day with WPGC AM 1580. Also, on the FM band, 100.3, is no longer a jazz station. The call letters are now WBIG, Big Oldies, and that's what they play. So WXTR Extra 104 now has competition, and from what I have heard, I think I'm going to stick with Extra 104 for my oldies. To the gentlemen out in Kansas City or Kansas or wherever who wanted a copy of I Am Hillary, I have heard that the White House put pressure on the station to stop playing it.
I will try and get a copy to you, sir. Just hang in there. If I can get one to you, I will try.
Hello, Fred. John McCann here on Monday night, June 7th. For all you AM freaks wondering whatever became of WBIG lately on 1440 in South Carolina and also in New Jersey, well, it's now an FM call, boys and girls. WBIG FM Oldies 100 appeared in the Washington, D.C. area at 4.04 p.m. on Thursday, June 3rd. Taking over, its 100.3 was WJZE jazz format. They are now oldies, and they are being none too subtle about swiping at the station that was the exclusive oldies outlet here in DC area since 1982, WXTR at 104.1 FM, saying now you've got an oldies station that's big enough to listen to at home, at work, and in your car. And there's also another very cute promotional spot that they do talking about the problem of alluding to that picket fencing that one gets when driving in the car, because WXTR is located significantly to the southeast of Washington and depends on its antenna height and a lobe to penetrate effectively into the Washington market. But it's clearly 100.3 is going to have better penetration, and so it'll all battle out with air personalities and contests, etc. But WBIG is now oldies in D.C. Thank you, and hello to all the boys and girls in the DX Audio Service.
This is Tim Hendel in Miami. First of all, Fred, I just love your intros, the Spanish intro on the April DX Audio Service and the 540 intro on the latest one. It's great. We have a real oddity here in Miami, a new beacon station on long wave. It's on 204 kilohertz, and it sends the call EAW. I know there is a Long Wave Club of America, but I don't know how to get in touch with them. Can anybody out there tell me how to find out what this beacon is, who's running it, power, location, etc.? It seems to be fairly weak because it's strong downtown. When you get to the edge of Miami, the signal actually drops off quite a bit. Tim Hendel in Miami with a correction. That long wave beacon is AEW. I misspoke. Also, there was a question on Musings about Don Wordlow, the blind baseball broadcaster who broadcasts color for different minor league teams. I know Don Wordlow because he broadcast for the Miracle here in South Florida a couple of years ago. He's now with a team in Connecticut, and I believe that I have the chance of getting some recordings of him. Unfortunately, I don't remember who the person was or what they wanted to know. So anyone who wants more information on Don Wordlow can call me at 305-381-6777.
Hi, this is Deb called back from Des Moines. It is June 10th at about 9 o'clock, and very recently, I've been a little remiss here, but very recently, 1490 KXLQ of Indianola, Iowa has changed from basically a country format to a gospel country format, and they're getting their stuff via satellite. That's it from here. Good DX, everybody, and keep up the good work, Fred. Goodbye.
And if you have something on your mind, something to say, give us a call today on the Action Line. Maybe a DX tip or some information which you think is pertinent to the membership. Give us a call. Area code 419-224-3916, 24 hours a day. And we'll have it here on our next Musings for Members column. We thought we'd have a new column here on the DX Audio Service to emphasize funny and stupid stories about radio. So with that, the DX Audio Service singers, take it away.
3, 4, 1, 2, 3.
K-R-A-P.
Radio crap.
Perfect.
I wonder where they get this stuff here. DJ Stunt gets him clipped. A disc jockey was sentenced to 3 years probation, $500 in fines, and 100 hours of community service while he stalled traffic on a bridge in San Francisco while he got his hair cut. If you do this again, you'll be doing your next broadcast from the county jail, Municipal Judge Charlotte Walter Woolard said after sentencing KSOL DJ M. Heinrich Mueller on Friday. Mueller, best known on the air as Mancow, and his sidekick, Jesus Chuy Gomez, tied up morning traffic on May the 26th by parking their van across several westbound lanes of the Bay Bridge while Gomez got a haircut. One angry motorist filed a $4 million lawsuit. Judges who suspect a television station of bugging their courtrooms ordered their court administrator Friday to investigate the station's conduct. Their two-page order also directs WKRC Television and its owner, Great American Broadcasting Company, to cooperate with Administrator Mark Schweikert, who is to report his findings to Thomas Crush, the presiding judge of Hamilton County's Common Pleas Courts. The judge suspended indefinitely the privileges of WKRC and Great American Broadcasting Company to record or photograph in the county courtrooms or other court facilities. 11 of the 14 judges on the court's general division signed the order. Two of the three judges who did not sign the order were absent on Friday. Judge William Matthews refused to sign the order, saying that WKRC had been punished enough by the bad publicity, Crush said. Matthews was away from his office on Friday and unavailable for comments, said his clerk, Dan Dieters. All I would say is that, of course, we would cooperate fully with judges, says William G. Mall, president and general manager of the ABC affiliate. He declined to comment further. Crush says that the investigation will take about a week. He says judges were considering legal action. Crush says WKRC may have violated state and federal wiretapping laws, Ohio Supreme Court rules on the use of cameras and recording devices in courtrooms, and the civil rights of witnesses and jurors. Witnesses and jurors cannot be photographed in a courtroom unless they give consent. The cameras also may have recorded confidential discussions between lawyers and their clients, Crush said. He says hidden cameras were placed in the courtroom of Judges Richard Niehaus, J. Howard Sunderman, and Norbert Nadell, the judges who did not know how long the cameras were in there or what they have recorded. Crush says WKRC reporter Chris Yaw told him that the cameras were put in there to see whether court employees were working or loafing. WKRC personnel dropped off the cameras in several courtrooms earlier this month, saying that the station wanted to have the equipment in position for hearings and trials. Crush says that while the videotape cameras appeared to be turned off and faced away from the courtrooms, smaller hidden cameras were directed toward the heart of the rooms. Niehaus says he spotted a hidden camera when he peered into the lens of a larger WKRC camera that had been left in his courtroom. And that's some of the dumb news about radio and television stations on the DX audio service.
Doot-bitty, jump, boo.
WRSC, stay calling.
It's convention time. Yes, indeed, it's time for another National Radio Club convention. And this one's going to be special because it's the 60th anniversary of the National Radio Club. And the National Radio Club is, of course, pleased to announce that its infamous SWAT team has returned from a recent deployment just in time to host the National Radio Club's 60th anniversary convention. The convention will be held Labor Day weekend, September 3rd, 4th, 5th, and 6th at the Hartley Hotel of Hartford, Springfield in Enfield, Connecticut. Contrary to previous statements, the SWAT team is not incarcerated yet. And just as in the past, they'll endeavor to make this year's convention a blast. Did I say anything about fireworks? Join us for a glorious weekend. Enjoy a hillbilly banquet on the patio, the National Radio Club auction, the National Radio Club quiz, the Find the Sticker contest, and, of course, seminars with John Bowker, Mark Connolly and Tony Fitzherbert will do their thing. And, of course, the SWAT team will do theirs, of course. The Hartley is located on 1 Bright Meadow Boulevard. That's three words, Bright, B-R-I-G-H-T, Meadow Boulevard in Enfield, Connecticut, 06082. That's at the corner of I-91 and U.S. Route 5, exit number 49. Now, I-91 runs north and south between the Massachusetts Turnpike, I-90, and the Connecticut Turnpike, I-95. The Hartley has a shuttle bus between Bradley International Airport at Windsor Locks, Connecticut, and the hotel. The hotel's telephone number is area code 203-741-2211. Reservations must be made directly with the hotel. Contact them at the telephone number and give them your name, street address, city, state, zip, the arrival date, and the number of days you plan staying at the hotel. The rate for the Hartley Hotel of Hartford Springfield is $59 for single, two double beds, or $59 for a double, two double beds. Registration fee of $40 is needed for the convention, which includes the banquet, and must be paid in advance. Make checks payable to the National Radio Club and send them to National Radio Club Convention, Post Office Box 118, Poquonic, P-O-Q-U-O-N-O-C-K, Connecticut, 06064. Questions, suggestions, etc., must be sent to Mr. Ron Musco, M-U-S-C-O, at Post Office Box 118, and put in a self-addressed stamped envelope if an answer is required. Bring items for the auction to the convention. And just for your information, there was about 70 attendees at the 50th anniversary convention, so let's see if we can break that mark. That's the 60th anniversary of the National Radio Club in Hartford, Springfield, Enfield, Connecticut. Okay. And I won't be able to come to the convention this year because we have some good news around our household here. We'll be expecting a baby just before that, so I'm going to be staying home and taking care of Deb and Connie and the new one, which should be arriving. So we hope everyone has a good time at the convention, and John Parker will be recording many of the seminars so we can offer a convention booklet. So you can hear what's going on at the convention if you happen to miss it, just like myself. Enjoy yourself. 99.7 AFRC FM. In our waning moments on the DX Audio Service, I thought I'd read from the Musings of the Members column, and just a couple select muses out of here so DX Audio Service members can hear what's going on the printed side of the house. From Ernie Cooper, he writes, four more varies to crow about. WANM at 1070, he received their test, and also KBOA at 830. And what do you know, two more varies from Rhode Island, WLKW at 790, and WALE 990, which brings us up to 4,429 stations. 15 more to go for 4,444. I always hate to see the end of the weekly DX newses, but then again, it does bring warmer weather and the possibility of good FM DX. I'm glad to see that Mike Hawk is going to be running an FM column season. I hope to contribute, if the DX will permit it, that is. On March the 5th, I was wondering who was on 1430 in Spanish, and it turned out to be WNJR at 1:47 a.m. talking about El Diablo. They used to be a black-oriented station. On March the 7th, WTYR 1550, again at 2:03 a.m., with those ads of a local car shop. At March the 8th, WVCH on 740 was quite weak here during its listed test. On 950, a station with a screaming preacher heard at 2:45 a.m. using extremely poor grammar. Don't these guys ever go to college, he writes. They were over WPEN and up till about 2:58 a.m. when they faded way down, so I couldn't get their 3 o'clock ID. Anyone know who this might be? On March the 11th, it brought the first lightning-style noise. Nothing new except the WKPT on 1590 was riding high at 2:14, and somebody on 1490 with CNN headline news at 2:58 a.m., likely WGCH, but it was unneeded for the very count. Anyone know whose open carrier that was there every morning causing WCKY to jump? Well, Dave Schmidt answers in the musing column, WJDM. On March the 13th, there was a whole hour of 50-style music over and under WCKY with a mumbled announcer, or I should say announcement, at 3 a.m., which I could catch, and since then, that carrier has been back every morning. New Jersey boys, is this WJDM, perhaps? And Dave Schmidt writes back, yes, it was. On March the 15th, the Ides of March. No sign of the KWKY 1150 test here to too much local WMEX. And what did St. Patrick's Day bring us? On 1520, here WWKB back on all night, but in Spanish. How the mighty have fallen. At the writing of March 23rd, and nothing new of interest has been noted except for a welcome phone call from Peter George of Randolph, Massachusetts, who owns a FM translator on 92.1, the next channel to our WOMR 91.9. He and we are upset by a CP awarded to Boston University for a new station at Falmouth, on 91.9 with 400 watts ERP and 150 watt antenna height. His translator carries the programming of WSSH 99.5 and runs 5 watts. John Sampson, who lives in Minneapolis, Minnesota, writes, first, let's address a couple of local interest items. KMOM 1070 either changed their antenna pattern so that it's inaudible here, or has been silent, more likely, since last summer. A new TIS has been broadcasting on 530 kilohertz west of Albertville, northwest of the cities, actually rather close to Monticello. It's in conjunction with the Minerod Test Project. It has the call WPAL378 and operates with 5 watts from an antenna mounted on a 30-foot pole, all per a nice letter. They come in here like a ton of bricks during the day. Also logged a Minnesota DOT TIS, WNMQ 215, operating from two locations, one quite close to me in early June, the other in St. Paul in late July. Unfortunately, no vary was received, so I'll have to follow up when I get inspired. Local WDGY at 6:30, the old KDWB, has now adopted a nostalgia-type format, probably trying to pick up whatever audience WMIN had before they changed to WCTS and a religious format. WDGY's music appears to be from some sort of satellite feed. The same music was also heard over the Hudson, Wisconsin station on 740, which has been running open carrier for a couple of days. Wonder what gives. On a couple of different subjects, we spent a month of February in Marcos Island, Florida, about as far south on the west coast as one can go without hitting the Everglades. Local WMIB at 1480 is still off the air and has no listing in the local phone book. Bruce Reynolds from San Jose, California writes, greetings, most of this musing is mailed to Dave about 2 weeks ago, but I stupidly failed to address the envelope fully, so I got it back. On February the 16th, it marked the end of my first year of DXing from San Jose with a Super Radio 2. After 1 year, my log of stations taped stood at 422 from 23 states, 3 provinces, and Mexico. California, naturally, was the top state with 201. Next came Oregon with 42, Utah with 26, Nevada with 23, Washington with 22, Arizona with 21, and Idaho with 16. Little time for DXing lately, but several welcome new ones to report. On February the 8th, ID taped of XEPB at 9:50 at 9:05 p.m. On February the 9th, KMER at 9:50. It was in the clear at 4:50 to 5 o'clock p.m. with no sign of KAHI. KMER plays country and western music and uses the logo K95. February the 10th, KAFF on 9:30, in at about 4:50 p.m., also country and western. On February the 13th, KHAC on 880 through KKMC at 6:20 a.m. They had gospel music and local announcements. I lucked out and caught the KOIT 1260 on an open carrier at 7 a.m., which enabled a weak ID from KPOW to make it through. Subsequently, KJQY was in well with a new easy listening format and the logo KJOY. KOIT was back by about 7:07 a.m. Back on December the 14th, XEZF at 8:50 ID'd at 6:13 in the null of KOA. Back on December the 21st, KYET on 1180 ID'd through KLOAK Splatter at 6:15 a.m. No sign of the KBOA test at this time due to indifferent conditions and strong KNCO and KPLS. KPLS was heard for the first time with their new children's-oriented format. They were using the slogan, Radio Oz. Family radio for all of us, Southern California. On March the 9th, I tuned in at the scheduled beginning of the KTNS DX test, but heard nothing except the usual XEPRS KBOZ, so I went to bed. Letter vary in from KIHR 1340, and a card from the KEYZ DX test. 7 threes from Bruce Reynolds. And I should note that probably if we read all the musings in one issue of DX News, we'd probably take up one entire C90 tape. So we had a lot of contributors to Dave Schmidt's column in the musings of members in DX News. I think what we did is count up the word count in DX News at one time and figured out that for each issue of DX News, if you were to read everything which is actually in print and does not coincide to some kind of picture or something in DX News, that it would actually come up to around 4 C90 cassettes. So there is a lot of information in the pages of DX News which we can read. And as you can see on this edition, we've been touching a lot on this to the membership and just kind of giving everyone a feel for what goes on the other side of the house. By the way, we did not have a CPC report for this edition of the DX Audio Service because we have not been able to get a hold of Jeff Tynan. I'm assuming that Jeff's just got a busy schedule there and has been off flying, but in checking DX News, I found that there are no CPC reports. But keep in mind that we're over that peak there of June 20th, and we're now on the downhill slide toward the DX season. So that brings to mind one thing that we should ask our membership to do, and that is be sure to get your name, your QTH, your ham radio call sign, and just about 30 to 35 characters of information of what bands and where you are normally active so we can update our ham list for this winter. We've got the ham list here at the DX Audio Service, and probably should have gone over it, but what I'd like to do is save it and make sure that we have everyone's call sign up to date. So if you're a DX Audio Service member and are an amateur radio operator, please send in that information this issue. That way we can get everything all typed in and have a ham radio list available here on the DX Audio Service in future editions. Well, that just about wraps up this edition of the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service. We don't have any classifieds to bring to you, nothing on the DX Change, and nothing of any other note. And this thing has kind of flown here real fast. So, as they say, it's not over till the large lady sings. This is Fred Volby saying 73, good DX, and see you next month on the DX Audio Service.